Look at the sixth chapter, powerful, and start at verse 1. Let us read that, I think. Look everybody, oh, powerful the scripture. Let's go by the scripture. Let's follow the scripture. Amen. Let's not just follow some people's prophesying. You have to speak out of the word of God. Let's see what the Bible said. Hear what God has to say. Amen. Read. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Who is speaking? Israel. They're going to come to themselves under a ministry. And the hearts of the children are going to turn back to the fathers. They are going to return because God is going to raise up a ministry and put a spirit of repentance, and they will return. So here's what it says: come and let us return unto the Lord. For he had torn what? What did he tore? He tore the kingdom away from them. He tore it away from the nation, and then he said that you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they will be coming from the east, north, west, south. Well, that has been being fulfilled for 2,000 years. Under the dispensation of the gospel, grace, with the apostles, the ministry. Then he raised up apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. God has been working. And here, verse 2 says, he had torn and he will heal. And he had smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, when? A day for 1,000 years. So after 2,000 years, 2 days, that's what he says here. That's the time when he is among the Gentiles. Yeah. Like right now. Amen. So after 2 days, 2,000 years, he will revive us in the third day that's going over in the millennium. The third day. In the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. That's where Isaiah 60 says, arise, listen. Arise, shine, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. See? He says that after 2 days will he revive us in the third day, he will raise us up. See, the dry bones are going to live again. The nation is going to be restored again. And said, we shall live in his sight. Then, hallelujah, look at this. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Is going forth, is prepared unto us, is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain. Look how he's coming. As the latter and the former rain upon the earth. Two rains. Remember we've had the lesson about the former rain, the latter rain. But now he's going to put two rains at the second advent together. At the restoration of Israel. It's going to take two rains. The former rain and the latter rain. He will come unto us. as the former rain. What a harvest that will be. What, I said, what a harvest that will be. And they will revive. What does rain do? It revives. Now, it's not just natural rain. It's the rain of the Spirit that God is going to pour out upon Israel. And it's going to affect the old world. It's going to affect the old world because even more Gentiles are going to come into the kingdom of God. And here it goes on. But let me go to chapter 3. Look, all of these chapters are wonderful. You should read the whole book. Now, let's read from verse 1 because it's a very short chapter, okay? Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love, and these are all parables, mysteries, prophecies that you can't just run over. It's beautiful. It has to be explained, these things. Then said the Lord unto me, go ye, love the woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, the prophet did, and for a omer of barley and a half omer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. But verse 4 now. For the children, here's what it's going to say now. See, the children went astray from God. So here's what happened. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. How long? 2,000 years, many days. Without a king. Who is the king? Jesus. Christ. There's only one king. I'll overturn until he comes. Whose right it is? Jesus Christ is the rightful heir of the throne of his father David. Luke says, and the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. Now when he received the throne, that bring on a new age, yes. The millennium age, yes. And the Gentile age will come to an end. Yes. Now Jesus Christ will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will rule over the heathen, because Psalms 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Yet have I set my king upon my holy mountain, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, if you don't understand the scripture, you may say, well, why don't he preach about money? If you don't understand, why don't he preach about material things and my prosperity right now? But you've got to understand now that that comes to an end. You've got to understand now that Jesus is going to reign over the old earth. And even the universe is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the government is on his shoulder. Yes, and his government will increase and his peace. And there shall be no ending, no economic failure. No government shutdown. Are you listening what I'm saying now? Human being, the government will not be left to another. But Jesus will be in charge. The government is on his shoulder. In other words, nobody vote him in or vote him out. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And he reigns from Mount Zion. Amen. And he will speak peace to the nation. And although the raging of the heathen, God said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. That's where Christ will rule from Mount Zion. But the beautiful thing is about this is that that's where we're heading. Amen. We're heading, yes. Hebrews 12 to Mount Zion. Amen. The city of the living God, where the spirit of just men are made perfect. See, Christ is to rule and reign from Mount Zion. But the children of Israel will abide for many days. Right now there is no king. For how many? How long there has not been no king? So many, many days. But they have a king. When he came the first time, he was rejected. So the kingdom of God was postponed. The establishment of the kingdom was postponed, but it went among the Gentiles. Amen. And for 2,000 years, the kingdom, the gospel, has been sustained by the Gentiles. While Israel would not accept their Messiah, the gospel went far ends among the Gentiles, and the Gentiles has received it. Amen. But after 2 days, he's going to return. But let me read on a little more here. And the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image. Oh, okay, now somebody say, there are many idols around, but this image right here is Christ, who is the image of God. Amen. See, so don't get this for an idol. This is the image of God. If you abide many days without an image, means that they were not, if you don't have the image of Christ, you will not be changed. You cannot come to temple worship. Because temple worship means the image of Christ is being formed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he is the image of the invisible God, the express image of the invisible God. And Romans 9 tells us that we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of God. The image of God is Jesus Christ. See, the Israelites was told under in Exodus that make sure you do not make an image or any likeness. They did. But God did not want to have an image or likeness, because he already had an image. Yeah. And that image is Jesus Christ. He already had a sacrifice. Yeah. He already had a king and a prince and a sacrifice, a savior. And he'll abide and without an image. And without an ephod. And without a teraphim. But notice, after the many days, afterwards shall the children of Israel return. Now they're going to return now in faith. They were broken off because of unbelief. But now they're going to return by faith. Afterwards, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David, their king. Not just natural David that was here, but Jesus, the greater David.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Jesus, the one that is greater than Solomon.
Amen.
They are going to return just before the millennium under a ministry. We called it the Elijah ministry. Because Malachi says that before that great and notable day comes, if you could find me that in Malachi, he will send Elijah the prophet. You remember that scripture?
Amen.
See, because now it's getting ready for the ministry to return, for the Lord to return to Israel. And when he returned, Lilahel and myself, is to rebuild the tabernacle of David. That's what the millennium will be about. We'll have worship rebuilding the tabernacle of David that is torn down. That's the order of Melchizedek, king priest, when David was the only man that was a king. And then he closed as a priest. And someone said he danced before the Lord naked. If you don't understand, you'll think that David did not have on any garment when his wife despised him. But he had on garments. But what David did, David took off, or David covered over his kingly robe with the priestly robe. And his wife didn't like that because she wanted him to be lifted up as a king. She liked that part. She couldn't stand him being a priest. She couldn't take that. So in her eyes, he was naked. He was shameful. But David was fulfilling the order of Melchizedek, the tabernacle of David. And so what did he do? Sing, praise it, dance before the Lord and worship. And Michal, his wife, looked through the window. She should have been out there dancing, but she looked through the window. And she saw an image that she didn't like. The king was now a priest. That's the order of Melchizedek. The king is also a priest.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the king, is also a priest. And then the order is that he makes us kings and priests unto God. So he's going to return and build that order during the millennium. And Malachi 4 says, read this. Malachi 4 verse 5 says, Behold, the days cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud. Chapter, go back there to chapter 4, is it? Go down to verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet. That's what I want. Before the coming, notice, before the coming, that's the closing out the Gentile age, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Okay? So God is sending Elijah ministry to turn it, lest he smite the earth with a curse. So this is done after, many days. Okay? Afterwards shall the children of Israel return. They're going to return right there. And seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness. When?
In the latter days.
We are in the latter days right now.
Amen.
And God's going to do something awesome also in the latter days. Joel prophesied. He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And Israel turned away from God, just like the Gentile now is turning. Just like the Gentile church is, Revelation 11, coming short. A rod and a reed, remember? And a measure, but it didn't come up to temple worship. It falls short in the outer court. And I'll get to that, but here, chapter 4, Hosea says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because, here's a problem, because there is one? No truth. It's important to have the truth. You've got to give up idols. We've got to give up those things into in our minds, that's not God. We got to give them up. It's not going to work. Now, there was no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God. What was that? What was the apostles' teaching? The love of God. Paul says, grace, mercy, and truth. Didn't he preach that? Didn't he start his ministry with that? Grace, mercy, and truth, or peace. And Israel lost that. So here was a ministry instituting that. The very opening of these letters, grace, mercy, they opened them that way and they closed them. Truth has to be established in the fellowship, in the body of Christ. So here it says, there was no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. They lost it. And so my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And if that destroyed Israel, what's going to destroy the Gentile church? Lack of knowledge. And now we've traded. You know, it's more me, my. The outer man is lifted up. You become a better you. And there's nothing wrong in becoming a better you. But it shouldn't be above the inner man. Because the outer man is going to perish, but it's the inner man. But we don't hear much about that. We hear about the outer man, what you can carve out, what you can make yourself into. And we use these instead of the truth and the knowledge by swearing and lying and killing, stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touch blood. He said, therefore, shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall language with the beasts of the field. And then he goes on, right? He goes on. And now for 2,000 years, the gospel has been among the Gentiles. And it has been powerful. Listen to this. It has been powerful among the Gentiles. A tremendous work was done among the Gentiles, right? Remember, we're talking about the measure. The reed, the rod. But go forward in Ephesians. Is it chapter 4? In Ephesians chapter 4, where it speaks about the measure. The ministry was given to us till we all come into the unity of the faith, to the full measure of the stature. What verse is it? Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Can you read that? Ephesians chapter 4. Can you read that right now? Ephesians 4, verse? But I want to go to verse... when he ascended... Verse 9. Now that he ascended, What is it but that he also descended in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And look when he was going, what he did. Psalms also brought it out. Look what he did. And he gave some. Look at the gifts he left. Look what he did. Look how beautiful and how powerful this church was. And he gave some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting. So we will not be like Israel, or they missed it. No truth, no mercies. Remember? We just touched that. But it's for the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministries, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Notice here the measure. The measure. There's a measure. The same measure was used in Revelation 11. There's a measuring stick. Jesus Christ is the measuring stick. The church takes its measurement from Jesus Christ. Now, let's read this together. How beautiful. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. What did we saw in Hosea? They had no knowledge. And because of that, they lost it. The same thing happened to Israel, is happening to the Gentile. We're losing the knowledge of God. We're losing truth and mercy. We're trading for material things. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto, there it is now. The measure of the statue of the fullness of Christ. You remember that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in him. All the treasures of God is hidden in Christ. And he is the image of God. He's the firstborn among many brethren. We lose that, you've lost everything. You lose that, you're in the outer court. That henceforth, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So it means that false prophet and all of that will still be around. But the church is to get so wise and so smart that we know them who say they're an apostle and are not, but do lie. But when we lose these things, then the church is going to be in the outer court. Why? Because we've lost the measure. We cannot measure up. And Jesus said to the seven churches in Asia, this is what I found wrong. Repent or else I will remove your candlestick out of its place. So that's why we're living now in the Gentile age. And it's coming to a close. But now what's going to happen? Elijah is coming and is going to turn the hearts of the father and the children back to the word of God. Back to their Messiah. And they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and will weep for him as a man weepeth for his only begotten son. And they will receive Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when Christ returns, in closing, he returns and Acts 15, it was prophesied in Amos 9, verse 11. Let's get those scriptures quickly together. It was prophesied in Acts. You change from Ephesians to Acts now. 15. Verse. After this, I will return. And return and rebuild again the tabernacle of David that is falling down. He gave you an outline. And Amos 9, I'll come back to Acts, but go to Amos 9, 11. And it shows you when you rebuild all the establishment of the kingdom. It's wonderful. Go to Amos, A-M-O-S 9, verse 11. In that day, will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. And he's going to close up the breach thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. You go back when it was built and the glory of God came down. Okay? Now, read on. In that day, here's what he's going to do. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen Gentiles which are called by my name. So he still has people, even among the Gentiles, Edomites, and so on. Set the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, set the Lord, that the plowman, now this is the kingdom, shall overtake the reapers and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop. Look at that. The mountain. It doesn't mean that big hill out there and wine flowing. No, it's a kingdom. Mountain, a kingdom. Shall drop sweet wine. The spirit of the nation is going to change. Now, there's no sweet wine coming. There's all kind of terrorism, danger, death. I mean, bombs going on. Everything's happening, right? But notice, when he returns, the war equipments will be beaten into plowshares. The mountains drop new wine. And all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity, read on, of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. That's the kingdom. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, said the Lord thy God. That's the kingdom, isn't it? Is that the kingdom? Now, in Acts, back to Acts 15, verse 16. And after this, I will return. We just read that. Yes. The return. That's the second advent. And will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Why is he going to do that? It's going to be greater than the church age. In the church age, it's go into all the world. You get it? But in the kingdom, it will be come. They will be coming. They will be asking the way to Zion. Now you got to beg them, ask them, call them to come to church. But not so in the kingdom. I want to show you how willing they will be. Amen. All the folks that, your cousins, your relatives, your auntie, your uncle, your in-laws, outlaws, friends, workers, that you got to keep begging, they don't want to come? No, they'll be begging you and asking you the way to Zion. So things are going to change. Don't leave church. Don't get discouraged if you are a deacon or a deaconess. Keep be faithful because you're going to have a lot of job in the kingdom. And your latter days, it's going to be greater. Said that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, everyone, all the Gentiles, there it is, upon whom my name is called. Set the Lord who doeth all these things. Because he knows what he's doing. Why don't you trust him? He said, but I can't have faith. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. From when? From the beginning of the world. So how come your free will is going to help him with something that's already fulfilled and accomplished? He already accomplished it. So tell me, what are you going to help him with? My free will. My decision. But he says, it's known unto God. From when?
From the beginning of the world.
All right. So for you to help him, when was the beginning of the world? When did you help him? When he says he finishes all his works. So you take your free will to God who was already finished. My free will. What free will? We just get so... Because the human like to be exalted. I will, me, my. Oh, look at what I did. I'm living really righteous, and so I'm better than you all. I'm helping God to finish my... I only need a little bit of help. You see that pride? That's what's killing the devil. The poor guy can't get rid of that pride. I will. He got a little promotion. He stick his little neck up, and then he begin to fight God. You get a little promotion? Really? On your job or somewhere, and you figure, well, no, I know how I can figure out the moon. I can figure why the sun. Huh? I'm come off of that little limb. Get down off of that. You can do nothing. Wait till some pain rock your body. An old age getting there, find out. God. I did this. Did what? If God didn't wake you up this morning, you'd never come to church. And even wake you up, you got to keep touching him before you don't want to get up. You got to keep jarring him. And when you do come, your mind is still home. They're not listening. No, so closing says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, he goes on to say, my sentence is, just leave them alone. Leave the work of God. Let him do what he want to do. Huh? Let him do. Trouble not those that are turned to God from the Gentiles. Say, don't, you know, as soon as somebody come in church or as soon as somebody gets saved, we get out our little book and we start to instruct them and run ahead of the pastor and telling them, I put your left foot there and your right foot here and you turn it all around. Come on, leave them alone. Come, just tell them to come on and sit down. Show them a seat and let the word of God come to them. But you think that you know more than the pastor. So you're going to deal with the problem. Oh, let me hide it from pastor. I'm going to deal with the pastor because, oh, let me hide it, you little. Unlearn. Leave it alone. That's why God has apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. He don't have the outlaws. The ones that they're not going to abide by what the word of God says. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I've been in many churches when we have that, as soon as somebody knew, they greet them and begin to doctrinate them. They're proud because they don't feel the pastor knows. You got to give them time to grow. Amen. And that's what happened among the Gentiles. Sometimes we don't have time to grow. As soon as we come to an altar, we're out in the ministry. Little babies. No knowledge. And so we make shipwreck. All right. So thank God for the word of God today. Thank God for...